Oh, there it is again. I love that music, Tim, with all my heart, because that music means it's time for the Rennies, a once-a-year occasion where you, Tim Keck, and myself, Kevin Bauer, give out the Ryan Reynolds Awards for Excellence in Film.
Yes, Kevin, it's an exciting night. We already did part one. Still riding high from part one, excited to get into part two, where we give away the big one, Biggest Thief, and some of my other favorite categories as well, Kevin.
Yeah, some of the really great ones are in here. And, you know, I think it's a thing that we do that is a real weak spot for the Oscars. The Oscars makes you wait for all the heavy hitter categories, whereas we are willing to just get out there and put our best foot forward, like we're doing right now with Best Picture.
Yes.
That's right. We're already talking about Best Picture for 2023. Now, if you didn't listen to the first half of this podcast, the way that this works is Tim and I each have our nominees, but we don't know who each other's nominees are. So we are going to find out right now, live on air. Tim, who are your noms for Best Picture this year?
Kevin, as far as the podcast and movies we watched and discussed on this podcast, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is definitely the best movie we've watched this year. It's so good. It's tight. It's one of the ones we always hold up as an example of like what a good movie is and does. In the spirit of the award, to try and get it to a 2023 nominee, my nominees are The Last of Us. Great. An amazing show. Had a great time watching it. It was a moment. Phenomenal, incredible game, and somehow it still lived up to the hype for what is one of the best storytelling video games of all time. My next nominee is John Wick 4.
Yeah, baby.
As far as going to the movies and having a good time, John Wick 4 is this year's Top Gun Maverick. Like, this is why you buy a ticket, you go to the movies, and have a shared experience with strangers where you see things you've never seen before in your life. It's incredible. It's the thing I think about the most this year. It's had the most lasting impact on me. On a year that, honestly, looking through this list, Kevin, or through the episodes we did this year, as far as 2023 is concerned, it was pretty weird year for movies, right?
Yeah, dude.
A lot of the 2023, like, it kind of sucked, right? There was not a lot. The Last of Us, John Wick, those were at the beginning of the year. And so we've just been coasting by, like, doing the best we can with, like, Transformers and, I don't know, whatever Marvel TV show they had out. But we did just see and just cover on the podcast another movie that I think is actually really good, and in the spirit of the pod, Godzilla Minus One.
Wow.
I think it's a legit good movie. If Godzilla wasn't in it, it would still be a good movie. And yet the Godzilla scenes are phenomenal. Amazing. So cool. They explode his face. It's a lot of fun. I think it squeaked in. Maybe it's a testament to how weak the year is, but Godzilla Minus One squeaks into my noms for 2023 Best Picture.
This is incredible.
Kevin, what about you?
We told you beforehand that we don't know what each other's noms are. And this is a perfect example because, Tim, I had the same three noms. I think that's not just because of the year, though. I think these are three really great things. I know The Last of Us is not a movie, but like as an entertainment property, it's phenomenal.
I just don't even know what the fourth is.
Sure.
That's what makes it a weird year, is it would be nice. I think these three could be at the top in a competitive year, but I don't even know the next best movie after that is. I mean, it's a steep chasm between these things.
A lot of people are going to say, a lot of different factions of our fan base are going to say different things. You're going to have people that are flabbergasted that neither one of us put Across the Spider-Verse on this list. And I don't think Across the Spider-Verse was even close for either one of us.
I don't think it's as good as any of these projects.
No,
I think
not even in the slightest.
As far as joy for me, Guardians is up there. I've been fighting for it the whole year.
That you have.
I don't think it's as good a movie as these, or as good a product as these other things, even though I'll probably rewatch it before I rewatch Godzilla. And maybe Last of Us. I don't know what I'm going to rewatch those. John Wick is going to be on loop all the time, man. I love John Wick. It's so cool. It's so awesome. man. And you get to, it's such a culmination of like a trilogy. They made a trilogy of movies that got better every single time. And then they were like, hold on, we're doing one more. And they crushed it, dude. They crushed it. John Wick is the best thing I've seen this year, I think.
So here's my thing. This is interesting. I think the only fourth thing I think that might squeak in for both of us, and I texted you about this the other day to see if you felt the same way, is Talk to Me, but we didn't cover Talk to Me on the pod, which means it's ineligible for the award, which the more I think about the movie Talk to Me, the more I like it. For Godzilla Minus One, though, I was hanging out with Danny and Lauren on Sunday, and we were talking about what the best movie is that each of us saw this year, just hands down. And I think like recency bias, like Godzilla, as far as things being like a film, like Godzilla Minus One is probably the closest to like a stereotypical film that we covered on the podcast, outside of maybe Oppenheimer, that is just phenomenal. Sartorudum. Like it's just really, oh yeah, Sartorudum is really good.
that's like an outlier though.
It is. That one's so good. That might as well be an Oscar movie. That said, so Godzilla Minus One, tremendous movie. If you haven't seen it yet, go see it. It's still in theaters. It's a blast. It is a total blast. You're going to love it.
It's worth it.
The Last of Us, phenomenal. Absolutely beautiful. Brought me to tears multiple times. Brought me to many different thresholds of emotion. The scene where Ellie has to kill a guy for the first time. Holy fuck. It's just gut-wrenching. But at the end of the day, nobody is making the argument that The Last of Us is the best drama TV series of all time. Tim, John Wick 4 might be the best action movie ever made.
Yes.
Like, this is the only one on our list that is the absolute pinnacle of an art form. So I got to give it to John Wick 4. I mean, come on.
It's got to be. It's the Top Gun Maverick of this year. It's incredible. Yeah. It's just reminding you what movies are all about. It's why we do this. It's John Wick 4. John Wick 4 is who we do it for, you know?
Dude, we got to record a Nicole Kidman, like, Nicole Kidman AMC intro. That could be, like, our first big trailer for it. It's us going into a movie. But, you know, it's just John Wick 4 playing on a loop. It's just him falling down the staircase on a loop. And every time it cuts back to the screen, he's just falling further down the staircase.
Yeah, they need to do that. They need to just cut in scenes of John Wick, like that one they did where it's just Lady Gaga fucking in House of Gucci. They just need to edit in some John Wick scenes. And wow, yeah, and it makes sense. It makes sense why she's so starry eyed. So congratulations,
Best Picture, John Wick 4. You did it.
You did it. You did it. You fucking did it, John Wick. Love you. Wow.
Unreal. All right, next up is Best Sound. Now, it's important to note the Best Sound does not mean, you know, the best score, the best soundtrack. Best Sound literally means the best noise that we heard in a movie this year. Tim, my nominees for Best Sound 2023 are as follows. Number one, Antonio Banderas saying gazpacho in Puss in Boots: The Last Wish.
That's good.
They spam the button a couple times, but it's only because they know it's fucking magic. My number two nominee is any of the sound effects in Scott Pilgrim Takes Off.
Huh. Okay.
The story left a lot to be desired, but oh my God, the sound effects were so on point. Even people blinking and looking around, they gave a sound effect that I'm pretty sure is the same sound effect as like the way that Mii's blink on the Wii. It's great. Like, they find ways to throw back to video games every single place you look. And my number three nominee for Best Sound is the Matchbox 20 song that gets played in Barbie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unreal. That's best the one. Pop of the summer.
That's maybe the biggest laugh of the summer and certainly the biggest pop of the summer. I mean, that was incredible. And you know, I'm not a Gosling, not a Gosling guy.
Gos denier.
Him singing is when he looks the most comfortable and happy and at ease with who he is as a person. His best acting was singing Push by Matchbox 20. the biggest laugh in one of the biggest movies of the year was him singing Push by Matchbox 20. And honestly, I would be lying if I said Push by Matchbox 20 and the Ryan Gosling version weren't both in my Spotify Wrapped this year.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I loved it. I mean, that's the winner for sure. My other nominees for that were the ambulance scene in Cocaine Bear. There's a beautiful moment when someone gets thrown from it and just skids on the asphalt. And at the time, I immediately wrote in my notes, like for the show, like best sound. It's like, that's great. It sounded awful. And I also wanted to acknowledge Gen V and maybe the boys in general, where I'm not someone who's always thinking about sounds and that's the visuals and stuff. That's not necessarily what the top of mind for me when I'm watching a movie. But anytime something explodes or a person's arm gets blown off or they crawl through someone's brain and out the other side, I feel like the sound effects are always on point for those. And it's always gross and squishy. And the specific squish that happens when brains explode on that show, it's just so satisfying. And they just get those sounds just right. I don't know, whoever, it's got to be a fun job being a Foley on those things. So shout out to Gen V, shout out to Cocaine Bear. But come on, Push by Matchbox 20. The only award I'll ever be giving Ryan Gosling, best sound.
No, you say that, but we're doing La La Land next year. Best sound, Matchbox 20, Push, and Barbie. That's interesting you bring up Cocaine Bear. I don't think I nominated Cocaine Bear for anything in here, but seeing it on our list brought me back to what the theater experience was for that movie. And that was a fucking fun theater experience, dude.
Yeah, that was a fun time. We were still optimistic about the movies of 2023.
Sure.
I think it might have overpromised and underdelivered, but it was a fun time at the movies, Ben. That was a good one.
Definitely.
We need more things like that where it's like an event that gets people out there, where it's just like, this is just going to be good. We don't care how good, quote unquote, the movie is. This is just a goofy good time.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. And I think we need more stuff like that, honestly.
I think our biggest contender coming up is the Godzilla X Kong movie. Just everybody in that theater knows exactly what they're in for. And so I think we could have a good vibe going into that one.
Yeah, I think it could be a good one. We've also been hyping up Night Swim pretty well.
And yes.
I don't know.
Night Swim, baby.
I can't tell if there's actually any hype online for Night Swim, but it seems like the kind of thing that is just perfectly named, perfectly themed, where it's just dumb enough that I feel like Night Swim is going to hit, dude. Night Swim's going to be great. What a vibe Night Swim is. Yeah. Yeah. God, great.
Well, hopefully it doesn't fall victim to our next category, which I know is near and dear to your heart, Tim. This is two longest. The two longest category is specifically for movies that were the most impacted by their excess runtime. So these are the movies that maybe aren't the best movies or the worst movies overall, but they're the movies that were most held back from being great because of that extra half hour, 25 minutes in there.
Yeah. Previous winners, last year's winner includes Everything Everywhere All at Once, which we both agreed is an amazing movie, or a really great movie that's kept from being an amazing movie because it's just too long.
Yeah,
it is
just a little bit.
We did do Everything Everywhere All at Once on the pod this year, but let's acknowledge it and move on to some other nominees. Kevin, one of my nominees is Loki Season 2.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe we cut that whole thing in half. Maybe we make one and two just one movie. Maybe it's two movies. I think there's a lot of fat and a lot of wasted time in Season 2. I think, honestly, both seasons should be one movie. That's what I think. And then maybe we would have had a good time watching it. I absolutely hated Loki. I don't know if it wins this category because I don't know, even if they cut it down, if I'm loving it, but it's there.
Interesting. Okay.
Another nominee I have is Transformers Rise of the Beasts, hyping up. And there is an extra half hour in this movie that is brutal. Like, when they have the moments that aren't with the Transformers are so hard to deal with. Just so hard. And I mean, I feel bad for the actors. I'm sure they're nice and good or whatever, but they're in like a cave, like looking at ancient robe. They have nothing to do. It's clearly an attempt. I don't know what it is. They're padding the script. They're dragging it out. I mean, just cut them out of the movie. Cut them out. Just make it all about the Transformers. And you've got like a ruckus good time. Just a good time there.
Yeah, dude. We know it can work. It worked in Beast Wars.
Yeah. My final nominee, and I think my favorite, is Meg 2.
Yeah, yeah, had that too.
There is a precise 30 minutes of them being underwater that they could cut out. I mean, it's two clicks with the razor icon and they fix the movie, you know, like it's so cut and dry. I bet they don't have to change a single thing. Just crossfade it. You know what? Go to black and just come back. Like, who cares? I don't care. That movie was so much fun. It was held back. Like, that movie could be just a blast if it's not drugged down by that whole underwater stuff. I mean, once you get into it, the rest of the movie's fun. And I don't even know if this is not an amazing movie, but it is the vibe of Cocaine Bear, right? Where like, you're going to the theater. We know exactly what we want. Just give us the thing. And they make you work so hard in that first hour of the movie to get to the thing we want. And it's completely unnecessary, especially in a sequel, called Meg 2. So those are my nominees, Kevin. What do you think? It sounds like we had something in common.
Oh, yeah, that's something else. I mean, the Meg 2 is definitely my nominee for winner. That one is, I know the exact sequence you're talking about. We talked about that on our episode with it, too. Did you ever read Mad Magazine, where they would have that page where you could kind of fold it out and it would be like more of the picture revealed, or you could fold it in? The Meg 2, I think, is kind of like that, where you could take everything from before the sequence in the base that you need to cut out and everything after. Just match that perfectly up. The arrows line up great. You got yourself a wonderful 90-minute classic.
Agreed.
Man, yeah, that one hurts. Transformers Rise of the Beasts, I had too. I liked the human stuff in the beginning, the Anthony Ramos stuff with his brother. I really enjoyed that, but I'm right there with you. The cave is exactly what I was picturing. There's a lot of shenanigans that happen in this movie that don't need to, which is really painful because the Bumblebee movie that it's a direct sequel to was really good. It was like a really fun movie. It was also a little too long, but it was like a very good movie. So to see this one stumble so much, I feel like those extra sequences keep it from even being like a great continuation of the Bumblebee version of the Transformers universe.
Which Bumblebee, I've watched Bumblebee a lot, honestly. I think it's great. Dude. And that movie focuses on the relationship between Haley Steinfeld and the car and the Transformer. Mm-hmm. And that's when Transformers succeeds, is the interactions between the humans and the robots. And yet multiple times in Transformers, they tell all the robots, you guys wait here, we'll go in first. And then we just get 20 minutes without Transformers. And then the Transformers show up. There was one, it's like the cave sequence. They just go into a town and they're like, we don't want to bring the trans. I don't know why. They made up some excuse why the Transformers couldn't come in. And then 20 minutes later, the Transformers just go in.
Yeah.
And it's fine. And there's zero consequences. It's baffling. It's so blatant. That's rough. That's really rough. But
yeah.
Yeah. That's, I agree with you there.
And my third nominee was Indiana Jones, The Dial of Destiny, which I thought had, I don't know exactly what I would cut in here. I thought it had the makings within it to be a really solid Indiana Jones movie, but I do think it just drew on a little bit too long. The reason for that is probably because it's the farewell to Harrison Ford, but I would argue that the best farewell you can have is a really good movie, and I don't think that's what this was. So I'd be interested to see if somebody could find a way to shave half hour off this thing and make it much more of a punchy indie adventure.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I don't know if time was my biggest. Well, time was a big blunder in this movie, but I don't know if the two longest really got to me. I was wondering about Across the Spider-Verse. I was almost tempted to nominate that. But again, I feel like it's similar to Indiana Jones, where it's just, that's not necessarily it. It's a little deeper than that for me, for whatever reason, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I'm willing to bet when the second part of Spider-Verse comes out next year, it will be a nominee for two longest, and we'll argue that it just could have been one movie instead of two halves.
I bet we will. Yeah. That's a pretty good prediction. And I don't know. I think I'm hopeful that the third one will slap. That's usually how it is. Or maybe, I don't know if that's usually how it is, but ideally the sequel is setting up the trilogy, right? Mm-hmm. I think it'll be a return to form. Okay. Well, congratulations to Longest 2023, Meg 2.
Wow.
Good vibes.
There it is. Next one up. This is another very fun one. We buried all the fun ones in this episode. This one is Fuck You, No Way, suggested by our pal, Corey Frame. This is the film moment, I would say, that's the most radically unlikely.
Kevin, you want me to kick this off?
Yeah, go for it. Who do you have?
My honorable mention is Tina Fey being in A Haunting in Venice.
Oh, shit.
She is so out of place to me.
Oh,
just
damn.
Completely doesn't make sense. Everyone else is acting and fits the theme. Somehow in the first two movies, it's just a crazy collection of actors, but the first two movies like stick the vibe. There's no one in there who stands out. Even Russell Brand is in these movies. And I wasn't even like, what is Russell Brand doing here? Tina Fey is just so on a different wavelength. It's not her fault. She's doing 30 Rock and everyone else is in this time period movie. Crazy. So that's an honorable mention for
that's
me.
That's a good one.
Maybe it should have been a nominee, but the time travel in Indiana Jones, that was one where I was like, fuck you, no way. We're really going back in time.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones is like, I'm staying here. Really? You're going to leave Indiana Jones back in time? Fuck you, no way. I don't believe it. Not a chance. Next nomination, Quantumania, Kang being defeated by ants.
Oh, wow.
Fuck you, no way. Honestly, they bounce back from that a little bit with like a straight up fisticuffs with Ant-Man and Kang where they're punching each other. And I remember I was sucked into that scene. I liked that a lot. But right before it, they're like, oh God, we'll just send a bunch of ants at Kang and he's cooked. And it's like, this guy has all the technology in the world and he can't fight off some. This is not like, this is insane that this is what it is. Fuck you, no way. Kang being defeated by ants. My biggest fuck you, no way, though, is the kiss in Secret Invasion. I remember just watching that. It was like, fuck. It was more of an angry fuck you. There was some rage behind it. It was like, fuck you. No way. This can't be a thing. And it was. And man, those are my noms, dude. Those are my noms.
Damn.
They were all questionable and shocking moments this year. What about you? Who did you have nominated for our Fuck You No Way Award?
I'll drop mine in, but I do want to follow up on your Kang note, because I was just thinking today about how when Ant-Man meets Kang in that movie, Kang is so removed. I'm blanking on the word for it right now, but he's so like, oh, Ant-Man, are you an Avenger? I've probably killed you before. This is a version of Kang that's killed thousands of variants of Avengers over the years. And one Ant-Man with a bunch of ants happens to take him down. Yeah, that's a pretty massive fuck you, no way. I had Annette Bening's CEO character being so hands-on in Blue Beetle. This CEO is leaving evidence everywhere.
Yeah.
There's no way. Nobody is CEO of a multinational corporation and is riding in a helicopter with an M16 to go look at some of the like slaves they have working for them in a different country. That is not happening. There's absolutely no way. Next up is I also had Indiana Jones staying in the past in Indiana Jones. This fuck you, dude. Like historian Indiana Jones, he knows he's going to fuck up the timeline. There's no way. There's absolutely no way this guy is deciding to stay in the past. I thought I did have a pitch for how they could do it and have it not be so awful. I was thinking, like, what if there was like a magic mirror or something that he could look into and see the past? Like there's like a mirror that's a window to the past. That feels kind of more in line with the level of mysticality they had in the previous Indiana Jones films, right?
Yeah. I mean, the guy, they find his watch on a body, right? Uh-huh. And then he ends, goes to the past, gives him the watch. The only way this would work if it was like, oh man, what about Kyle in ancient Rome? He was the great explorer. Actually, I'm a descendant of Kyle, you know, like, sure. Well, it's my bloodline or whatever. And so then you go back in time and end up being your own great, 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 great grandfather or something like that.
That's kind of fun. Yeah.
But yeah, just nothing else works. Time travel's stupid. It's dumb. I don't know if it's even the aliens wasn't as weird as just time travel, but they have to go somewhere, I guess.
Yeah. So I would argue the own grandpa thing even works better if Indy isn't the one that time travels, but maybe he meets a love interest and the love interest is like, you know, you get signs that she's a little bit out of time. She's got something otherworldly about her. And then at the end, a portal opens up and she has to go back to her old time. But they had hooked up at some point in the movie and therefore his bloodline thrown back there. He still gets to be, I guess that would kind of make it. So
he's his own dad. That's pretty gross.
He's his own dad. He's also like his own grandfather, which means that he's slept with his own grandmother. So maybe, you know, I don't know. Either way, Indiana Jones, fuck you. No way. My last one is from the Expendables. Sylvester Stallone's finger is the size of a massive dildo.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I forgot about that. That's the funniest one. Oh, my God. This is a movie. You have to explain this. You have to explain this.
I think the Expendables is my favorite podcast we did this year. So go back and listen to that one if you want to hear us absolutely gush about this movie in depth. But this is a movie where they fly away from a nuclear explosion in a helicopter at normal helicopter speed. And this dildo thing is still the most unbelievable thing that happens in this movie. The movie opens up. Sylvester Stallone is asking for Jason Statham's help getting his ring back. He lost his skull ring while gambling with some guys in a biker bar. So Jason Statham and Sylvester Stallone go to this biker bar to get it back. And to humiliate Sylvester Stallone, they've got the ring displayed behind the bar, but it is on a massive dildo. Like, this is a larger than average dildo. So
it looked average, like, to me. Did you think it was big? Wow. Okay. Well, I guess I need to reassess.
Jesus fucking Christ. Oh my God. Like a lamb is like a foot long. This thing is so realistically, this thing has like an 8-inch girth. I mean, it's big. Best possible interpretation. Maybe the skull ring is a thumb ring for Sylvester Stallone, but no human being short of the Incredible Hulk has hands big enough that it would be the same size.
Oh, this is, you're not even talking about the thing in Expendables that I was thinking of too.
Wait, what were
the
you thinking?
The fact that his
of?
Thumb is so big, that's what you were talking about? Yeah, that is crazy, the dildo size. But then in the same scene, he's trying to get his ring back from a guy who has a name like Shorty or something like that.
Oh shit. Yeah.
And he's holy and this fuck. Guy is like 4 feet tall, and eventually Sylvester Stallone. During the movie, Sylvester Stallone fakes his own death. They find a skeleton with his ring on it, and that's how they decide that Sylvester Stallone has died. But then it turns out that the skeleton belongs to Shorty, who is not even half the size of Sylvester Stallone. And somehow they mix up these two. They find like a 4 foot tall corpse, and they're like, oh, Sylvester Stallone, he lived a good life. It's crazy. It's insane. And for some reason, this like the skeleton there is a 6 foot skeleton. Somehow this 4 foot man produces a 6 foot skeleton that looks like it could be from Sylvester Stallone. I mean, it makes no sense. Maybe my fuck you, no way.
We got to do that. Neither one of us had it nominated, but there it is. They specifically go out of their way to show you the size discrepancy between these two guys. Like, yeah, it's as though they're setting it up to be a plot hole for the rest of the movie. Incredible. Expendables.
It's wild. We found the shortest man in the world. Also, he's going to be mistaken for Sylvester Stallone. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Wow.
Just
rules.
Pick anyone besides the shortest man in the world. I mean, it's like, also, it's crazy.
The fact that Sylvester Stallone's character, this is just great character work in the Expendables. The fact that his character is willing to murder this guy for the purposes of faking his own death. Like,
I'm gonna need a body for this one.
He just goes out and fucking kills this guy. Incredible.
So I think we're in agreement. Fuck you, no way. 2023. Congratulations, Sylvester Stallone's burning corpse. You did it. It makes no sense. It's wild. It's absolutely awesome. Wild.
Oh, well, that leaves just one more for us today, Tim. It's the big one, the true big one, the Ryan Reynolds Award for Excellence in Film. It's the Biggest Thief Award.
Yes, this is the big one. The whole kid and caboodle. Who or what stole the show for us this year? Should I kick it off, Kev?
Please do.
Okay, this is really good. I think my honorable mentions. Barbenheimer as an event.
Mm.
Just the fact that Barbenheimer existed, that so many people bought into it. It was honestly a great day for us personally. And I'm just glad it happened. It seemed organic. It was not like a marketing thing. It's very cool. It's definitely one of the biggest like events of the year. My other honorable mention is episode 3 of The Last of Us, long, long time.
Oh, yeah.
Which is Bill's episode. And it's the gay couple that is not even a part of the rest of the series, just living their life. It's an amazing episode. It builds the world out incredibly. It's top tier television. My real nominees for this. Jason Statham, just in general. We covered 3 different Jason Statham movies on the pod. Meg 2, Expend 4 Bulls, and then he makes a cameo in Fast X. As far as 2023 is concerned, Jason Statham had a great year.
Wow.
He crushed it.
Those are three of the best times we had at the movies this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jason Statham's the man. He deserves it. Those were fun movies. It's a strong consideration, I think. In the tone of like a James Gunn has won in the past for like multiple movies. So I feel like that kind of fits our Biggest Thief idea. Mm. My next nomination is Michael Keaton's Batman in the Flash.
Mm.
That's one of the coolest things I've seen this year. I love that first movie and I love Michael Keaton's Batman. It's so good. It's so cool. It's the only thing that they did justice for in The Flash. It was awesome. I loved it. It's one of the highlights of the year.
Dude, his spaghetti explanation, the multiverse, is my favorite explanation of the multiverse. It's actually original and fresh. I loved it.
He's incredible. And then my final nominee, Kevin, you know I'm going to say it, John Wick 4.
Yep.
It's just the single best thing that happened to me this year. I love it. It's done really well in our awards so far. It's the best. It's the best. If we are trying to hold something up to the excellence in film that Ryan Reynolds brings to work every day, John Wick 4, look no farther. Look no farther.
Look, they're bringing it farther.
Farther. Look no farther. John Wick 4. Kevin, wow. Or your noms.
I also wanted to give a shout out to Bill and Frank. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal episode. Makes me weep. Can't watch it again. Too sad. Actually made me weep. My actual nominations are 1, Spider-Punk in Across the Spider-Verse. I think the graphic designer in me couldn't take my eyes off him. I couldn't believe they managed to top all of the crazy animation shit they did in the first movie with this one character. Like, holy mother of God, Spider-Punk. Spider-Punk Forever, 100 Years Spider-Punk. Wow. Next nominee.
I thought he was hard to look at.
Well, there you go. This probably is not going to win. Next nominee is The Dragon's Breath Bullets in John Wick 4.
Yeah.
Which for me is like, we've been through 4 of these movies. They seem to have exhausted every single possible variation of a fight scene you can possibly have. And then somebody pulls out these Dragon's Breath Bullets and suddenly he's got a flamethrower shotgun. Come on. I mean, on paper, in execution, just absolute beauty. And my third nominee is the Flurkin Kittens in the Marvels. There's a sequence in the Marvels with kitten versions of Flurkins. And I hated the Flurkin in the first movie. I think that trope is played out. I hate, you know, a cute thing, but it's actually scary. But they did the Flerkens so well in this one. And the sequence with the Flerkens was such an unexpected joy. All of us were laughing our asses off. We really enjoyed it. Really great moment. But Tim, I mean, look, it sounds like we're both on the same page here. It has to be John Wick.
John Wick. John Wick. Generational talent. I mean, how many categories did he win? Best fight?
He won best fight and best picture.
And best picture. You know what? Give it the big three. I mean, it's the best thing that happened to me this year. Honestly, of everything we've done, and we were both have agreed that 2023, a little bit of a weak year in general.
Yeah.
Not a week goes by where I don't think about John Wick. I think about it all the time. It's had by far the biggest impact on me this year. Even like The Last of Us, which I think was like number two for us this year. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there was a moment in The Last of Us that was as powerful to me as the moments in John Wick. And maybe I'm alone there. Maybe I'm alone. But yeah, John Wick 4 was perfect. It's exactly what I want from a movie. It was great. Amazing. Yeah. I'm going to watch it right after this.
I might too, man. It's the perfect Christmas movie. It's like I said before, how often do you get to see the best example of an art form? Like,
yeah,
this is actually one of those cinema experiences that we get to say we were there for, in the same way that people talk about like, oh my God, dude, I remember seeing Alien in theaters. Man, John Wick fucking 4.
It's the best action. I mean, each one of these, as they've come out, have been the best of a specific genre of like a violent, of like a fighting, gun-toting action movie.
Yeah.
Each one of these has been the best. And somehow they figured out a way to make one that's even the best. I don't know what's going to come close to this. Because if they're not making any more John Wicks, what's possibly going to break this? I don't know.
I don't know. Someday somebody's going to figure out something to do on the Apple VR headset and it's going to fucking rule, dude. And we're going to love it. You're going to get to be Jason Statham. Oh, talk about living the dream. And speaking of living the dream, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We have so much fun doing this. We really appreciate each and every one of you. You know, what a fun time. We're going to take a little break for the holidays. We hope you're having wonderful holidays right now, but we will return. We will be back here shortly. Keep watching your feed because we're coming right back and getting right to the Aquaman.
Right to the Aquaman of it.
I think it might be top tier. If I looked at our schedule right, I think we might have a little aquatic January, right, Tim? Because we got Aquaman 1, we got Aquaman The Lost Kingdom. You know we got to talk Night Swim.
You know we're going to talk Night Swim. And I'm just excited. People have been listening to the pod. Appreciate you sharing it. Keep sharing it if you can. We love doing it, and we do it for the fans. So, and the money. So whatever you can for the sweet, sweet, copious amounts of cash we're raking in. Kevin, should we run through the awards, the winners real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
Before we wrap it up.
You want to do pod one or do pod two?
I was hoping you could do both.
All right. Well, here we go. Best actor. Oh, Jesus. Best actor went to Imad Vellani in The Marvels. Best fight scene went to the staircase fight in John Wick 4. Horniest moment went to, what did we do for horniest moment?
The soaking scene in Jury Duty.
Horniest moment went to the soaking scene in Jury Duty. Best trailer, worst movie was Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. Arby's biggest beef award was that Nick Fury sucks now. Best picture, John Wick 4. Best sound, Push by Maxbox 20 and Barbie. Two longest, The Meg 2, The Trench. Fuck You, No Way. Sylvester Stallone's body double in The Expendables. And biggest thief, John Wick 4.
Hell of a year, 2023.
Hell of a year. See you next year, buddy.
See you next year. Bye.
Bye.